This is Michael W. Dean, no relation to Howard Dean, that socialist skunk. This is the Freedom Fiends. And on the other, I am Michael Dean, also known as the Iron Hamster. And we got to get a name for my co-host here, Jack Johnson. You there, Jack?
Yes, I am. Correct. I do need a name. I'm not sure if Iron Hamster is going to roll, but no. We'll have to think about that.
You got to think of it. Maybe something that's a native, you know, some kind of creature that, like, you know, lives off of what you throw away from the stills out there in the Appalachians.
Yeah. Rabid raccoon? I don't know.
I like the rabid raccoon. That could work for now. The rabid raccoon. So, Jack, you went to church today, right?
Correct.
And tell me what you're telling me about church and your dogs and, you know, church and your dogs. Good mountain topics.
Well, my friends came by to see, first off, the dog part. My friends came by to see me this past morning, and they basically had their Dobermans in the back of their car. And my dog's really excited. She lives alone. So she's trying to follow those dogs down the road. And so I get a knock on my door about 15 minutes later. Now, she has electronic fence, and a lady shows up at the door, and she's got her beaconing collar and her electronic collar in her hand. And I'm like, what's going on? And she says, we just found your dog running down near the main road in town. I said, no, that's not good. And we finally brought her back in, and I checked the fence. But it's true. Dogs will jump an electric fence whenever they feel truly inspired. It doesn't stop them.
Yeah. So your dog made some friends and wanted to go hang out with them and didn't bother checking
out.
No,
didn't knock on the door.
Leaving you a note. Yeah.
And that's the nature of dogs, especially during springtime. So you were asking about tithing. Yeah, I stopped by a little country church here this morning that is just getting back on its feet, and I dropped them off a monetary donation to get started with their new ministry. And that's pretty much what I did this morning, and came back to the house to catch the show for sure.
I'm kind of fascinated with the concept of tithing. To be clear, it's what is the Bible reference to it, and what is tithing?
Well, Christians don't have to do it, but it's a reference to the Old Testament where they have to pay about a tenth of their income or their earnings, which could have been wheat, you know, cows, to the old Israelite priests back in the day. And that's what they used to give, was like 10%. Nowadays, it's more given out of love and out of need. When you see somebody needs something, that's when you do it. Or if you know a little church like that one needs something, you go by and help out.
So it's a guideline for Christian charities, 10% of your earnings.
Correct.
And then I asked you, so where you live in the Appalachia Hills there, I've heard the discussion before. Is it 10% of your income before taxes or after taxes?
Right.
And what'd you say?
I said, tax is an evil term in the Appalachians.
Like, taxes? What? Revenuers? Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And, you know, I kind of like the idea of it. I'm not I'm not church folk like you, but I like the idea of a voluntary tax, and I wouldn't even call it a tax in that situation. But, you know, the IRS says that taxes are voluntary. That's actually in the wording of the IRS code. But, you know, don't try to pay them and see how voluntary they are. They'll come take your home and shoot your dog and shoot you and drag your corpse off to a cage and zap it back to life and send you a bill for the hospital and then, you know, try to keep you alive so you can serve those 8 life terms in prison.
Yeah, it's they take that stuff pretty their version of voluntary, they take very seriously.
Their voluntary is a gun to your face, man. It really is.
It's like what old Bill Hicks used to say, you're free to do what we tell you. That's pretty much the way that works.
You know, Bill Hicks is another one. I've had this running meme I said it once about somebody, then I said it about somebody else, and he's another one, and I'm not going to bury the lead because it's people who were doing the best they could with what they had. And what I mean by that is that guy, Bill Hicks, who I love, and the guy who wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Hunter S. Thompson,
right.
And Timothy Leary, if they were alive today, I think they would all be minarchist or anarchist, you know, like anarcho-capitalist, like no government men, like total true libertarians. But since they lived when they lived, and that thing wasn't quite a thing yet, you didn't have the shoulders of the giants like you and me and, you know, Jeffrey Tucker and and Stefan Molyneux and Nima Vidotti and people like that. You didn't have those shoulders to stand on. Those people were like, they hated the government. They were thrown in prison by the government, some of them. You know, Hunter S. Thompson was threatened murder by politicians he was running against. They were going to dynamite his house. And they hated him so much that, like, the local Democrat and Republican got together and threw the race so one of them could win instead of him. But they all still believed in politics. They all three of them still believed in, if we can get the right men in there, we can change things.
That's right. They're one vote away from paradise.
One nanny law away from the truth. Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah, Bill Hicks is another one who was doing the best he could with what he had. So back to tithing. You know, if people are not religious or they're not tithing to a particular thing, they could tithe to the Freedom Fiends. They could go to freedomfiends.com and set up a monthly auto contribution. I'm kind of kidding, and we like donations, but the best thing you can do for the Freedom Fiends is go to the freedomfiends.com site and click on the link that says Torrent Club and learn how to keep us drone-proof by keeping your computer on when you're not using it and setting it up so while you're at work or asleep, it is a torrent seeder. It's pretty easy to do. We're the only show doing it. There are other shows. There's one other show that I know of that shares their stuff by torrents. It's Stefan Molyneux's show, but he doesn't have it set up with an RSS feed to automatically update like we do.
That's important nowadays. That's how I get my news, primarily through an Now, you get yours through Twitter, though, right?
Well, I'm not talking about the Freedom Fiends RSS feed. That's a different RSS feed.
I know you're talking about the torrent.
Torrent-specific RSS feed. And it's a feature that some torrent programs have. It's basically used for pirating TV shows, you know, for like something that's still showing weekly episodes that are new. And when people upload them, they'll have an RSS feed for it. But this is not pirating. This is media I create and quote-unquote own. And I'm encouraging people to share it.
I still have my I put mine in my survival stash of food, that first DVD you ever sent me of your shows. Oh, so we've got them here.
I thought you meant you had your torrent RSS feed in your survival pack. So you told me something interesting about meals ready to eat today. You were taking some to the church folk, right?
Right. There's a friend of mine. She went to Africa, and she didn't start out particularly spiritual when she went, but she had to deal with a lot of starving children in Africa, and she literally spent everything she had to feed them every day. And she came back to the mountains here, and she asked for some help with some MREs. Now, her boyfriend, who lives in, he works at an airport that I have to leave out of this, in Africa, but he's a contractor and he helps to land airplanes over there. And when they land, he basically and specifically reminded her to make sure that the MREs I was looking at as a donation to her when she goes back in July had to be non-governmental MREs, and we call them FEMA MREs.
They can be governmental but not military, right?
Yeah, they can't be a standard military MRE. So that's something that's strange about MREs, because like what you were saying earlier when we were not on the call, but we basically, if you go to a gun show or anywhere like that, or even an Army Navy surplus store, you can buy an MRE, but they extremely frown upon people selling them. Right. You can still get them on eBay. So,
well, it's kind of an interesting concept of how they would end up from the military to civilians, because it seems to me like most military surplus stuff is stuff that's old and has been replaced by newer models, you know, clothing. It used to be guns, but you can't get guns.
Right.
The only military surplus guns you can get now are Russian.
Well, I think the CMP still offers
Yugoslavian.
M1A1s in Springfields, but they're not allowed to even offer anything new.
Didn't Obama melt a bunch of M1 Grands?
Yes, he did. They were coming in from Korea, from the Korean War, and he circumvented that. We thought we were going to get them and send them to the CMP, and he got a hold of it, and he destroyed them.
What's the CMP?
Civilian Marksmanship Program. It's the only governmental agency that provides guns to civilians.
it's done through the NRA, right?
The NRA does have a big part of it. Okay. They maintain the instructors. So,
yeah, I'm not a big fan of the NRA, but not for the same reason a lot of liberals hate them. A lot of liberals are like, the NRA murders children. And I'm like, no, they don't.
Don't.
But I'm like, the NRA, I'd be yelling, the NRA collaborates with the government and dilutes gun laws to get them passed.
That's pretty close to how I see it too. Yeah. And there are other gun organizations you can be involved with if you need an organization.
Yeah, so, like the Heller Foundation.
That's correct. HellerFoundation.org.
And JPFO, Jews Against Jews for the Prevention of Firearm Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Ownership. No, the Jews for the Prevention of Firearm Ownership. That's Feinstein and Schumer.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're actually in office.
Yeah, and let's see. I like the JPFO is good. I like the Wyoming Gun Owners, wyominggunowners.org, who actually like had a lot to do with lobbying. I don't like lobbying, but they do it. I like their lobbying. I send them $50 a year though, you know, cuz they're good people and they're good education. They keep an eye on the Republicans who are doing backdoor gun grabbing here. And they also had something to do with getting a permitless concealed carry passed in Wyoming,
which is awesome.
Yeah, it's four states with that now.
And I think Gun Owners of America is a decent one.
That's the other one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of smaller regional ones. I think Ohio Concealed Carry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of state concealed carry ones.
Yeah. NC Grassroots is here.
When I was in California, though, I was like, there's a California concealed carry one, which is kind of odd because in most of California, it's like it's easier to get a ham radio license than it is to get a concealed carry permit by far. And I used to go I was going on their website and like trying to befriend them. And, you know, they teach people how to jump through the hoops to get a concealed carry permit in California. And they like blocked me. I think they thought I was a government agent trying, like, just cause I had a sense of humor and was joking around with them. And that actually like is part of what led us to move to Wyoming. We're just like, we're never going to get a concealed carry permit. And these people snubbed me. We're going to sell our house and move at them.
Yeah, California is a strange place for sure when it comes to gun laws, but especially I didn't know that you had that kind of trouble trying to get involved, and they kind of turned you down.
Yeah, although I did meet some people from Appleseed in California who were really helpful.
Nice.
They're good people. Appleseed.info.
And we'll hardcore.
Back with more on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza with Jack Johnson and Michael W. Dean after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Have you ever wanted to move to the land of LibPair? Libertarian paradise, where there's fun for everyone that doesn't initiate force on others, fun for the kids, parties for the adults, buy and sell in silver or Bitcoin, scenic hikes and gun shoots, speeches to educate us all. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is LibPair in the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a week this summer, June 22nd to 29th. Get your tickets now before there's no more room. Porkfest, the event of a lifetime. Porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah, Freedom Fiends, Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, and over there in North Carolina, we've got Jack Johnson, the, what did we decide you are?
I think we picked Rabid Raccoon.
The Rabid Raccoon, that fits the Appalachians, I think.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Yeah. Yep, and we want to talk about Obama for a minute. Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Okay, let's move on. I don't know. I feel like there's a law that you have to mention Obama and how horrible he is at least once an hour on talk radio. Yeah, it's and he is. You know, a lot of these stations love us. They have us on, and they're brave and they're smart. And there's 24 stations carrying us right now. 24 commercial AM, mostly AM, and a few FM stations. I wonder if a Republican gets elected. in 2016 if they're going to still love us when we're bashing him, because he's going to be a tyrant too.
Because it doesn't change.
Well, because, you know, I mean, I don't believe in the you can change the system, you can change the world by putting great men in there theory. But Ron Paul was the closest we ever had, we the people. And the Republicans made sure he didn't have a chance, and then made sure no one like him would ever have a chance again by changing their bylaws.
I thought that was kind of odd during the whole when they were trying to put him in the – when they were figuring out who they were going to put in for the Republican candidate, that they actually went out of their way and made sure that Ron Paul wouldn't get a chance to run.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just – that was unheard of.
Politicians of all stripes in America talk all day long about how much they love the Constitution. But then when there's an actually a, there's actually a guy who believes in it, they change their rules to make sure he'll never have a chance and no one like him ever will again.
Exactly. And they do it almost out of their fear for the fact that they'll lose their paycheck and they'll be sent home. And yeah, they love getting paid.
Because their paycheck isn't probably in the Constitution. Although it kind of is. If you read anything other than the Bill of Rights in there, most of it is just administrative, you know, bylaw kind of stuff of how people are chosen and what their terms are. And the rest of it is just stating, yes, we the politicians have the right to lay and collect taxes without, you know, with no, with checks and balances, but with no limits, you know. So if the checks and the balances get together and say, we want to steal more and tyrannize more, we want to have more taxes and less freedom, there's really nothing in there other than the Bill of Rights, which is completely ignored. To stop them. So on to the Bitcoin BS generator. And I'm going to have to keep this radio friendly. If you want to play the home version of this game, go to freedomfiends.com/BS. That's BS as in Bravo Sierra. And this is a little thing I did last night, spent a few hours making and tweaking and perfecting. It's an update on a website from 1999 called the Web Economy BS Generator. And it's just a really simple page with a button that says make BS, and you click on it, and it takes it randomizes a sentence out of three columns. Like it's a verb, an adjective, and a noun. So the old Web Economy BS Generator, I'm clicking on that. Let's see, the it says deliver synergistic supply chains, productize .com metrics, empower cross-media users, maximize frictionless bandwidth. It was basically like they took all of the buzzwords of the dot-com bubble during the dot-com bubble and made this generator for it. And the funny thing is there were actually people who took terms they made in this that were complete and utter BS and put them into white papers and even like, you know, like things for trying to raise money. And I think some of them were successful, because it was such a buzzword oriented time and there were so many journalists just getting everything wrong and just stringing buzzwords together that it almost looked like something from this. So I made an update, the Bitcoin BS generator, that's for Bitcoin and post Bitcoin blockchain environments. It's at freedomfiends.com/BS. Let's take turns clicking on this and reading the results.
All right.
And some of them make so much sense, programmers are going to go want to make what this says. And some of them are ridiculous. You know, like some, like you get some of them say things like a good one, it comes out as matrix generated blockchains. Okay. And then you get ones like anonymize anonymous anonymity and monetize double spend proof double spending. You know, just ridiculous stuff. So let's see, I'm clicking on it. We'll take turns. Deploy secure exchanges.
Repurpose QR-coded private keys.
Leverage multi-sig anonymity.
Cultivate anonymous confirmations.
Syndicate 51% proof dark markets.
Transition merchant hash rates.
Transition instant confirmation communities.
Optimize high difficulty paper wallets.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Meow. Meow. This is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. Over there, I'm in Wyoming. I am in the windowless bunker. Looking out the little gun slits here at the clouds. It looks like it's going to rain. How's the weather over there in North Carolina in the mountains?
Same. That sounded, looking at rain.
That was not a North Carolina accent. That sounded like I do declare. So I should be slapping someone with a glove and wearing a white suit.
Well, I did go to school in Charleston, so I guess I can get a little bit of a pass. But it's about the same right now. It's just nothing but clouds, and it's been raining on and off. So, getting a storm.
Where do proper Southern gentlemen wear white suits and slap each other and challenge each other to duels?
I think Charleston used to be a place where they challenged folks to duels. But the last duel that we had, I think, in 40 years ago, was actually in your neck of the woods in Wyoming.
So it's a North Carolina thing, but it'd be a big city thing.
Right.
Out where you are, you just shoot them or sleep with their sister, right?
Well, there's some.
I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. And you know, there's a book I'd recommend for people. It's called The Redneck Manifesto by Jim Goad.
Excellent.
And it's
book.
Kind of an anti-racist book. It's anti-racism against white people, which some people says means it's racist, but I don't believe that. I think those people should check their non-privilege. And it's a book that it's funny as heck, man. And the guy is spot on. And it was the first thing I read like 15 years ago that really, you know, other than like Abby Hoffman back in the 60s, who was a commie nutbag, but he was funny. Jim Goad was like the closest thing to a libertarian I'd ever met. He was one of those like, I'd never met him, but he was doing the best with what he had. You know, he was the first person to ever really question the government in a way that made sense to me. And the basic premise of that book is that rural white people are the only ethno-botanical group, you know, socio-political ethnical group that you can still be racist about in the media. And if you took, you know, anything that you can say all day long about rural white people, if you said that about, Jews, Muslims, Catholics, blacks, women, Italians, anything like that, Arabs, Persians, you know, you would be, you know, at best thrown off of TV and at worst, you know, sued and shot probably.
That is correct. We see it around here. It's a vacation town, and people will literally use the term redneck in front of country folks, and I'm like, you don't do it.
Y'all aren't rednecks. You're hillbillies. There's a difference, and they don't know because they're city folk.
Right. if you're gonna use the derogatory slang, use the correct term. And people think that it doesn't actually hurt these folks that they're talking to. I mean, they literally use that as a phrase.
They're probably thinking rednecks don't have feelings. They're subhuman. And then thinking like they're so evolved because they're not racist.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The old liberal double standard, I should say. And we see it, and especially with people that vacation here and also with folks that move here from out of town that think that it's perfectly okay to call the hill folk any of those two terms. So And it's, you know, it's a joke. It's but at the same time, some people can take it to the nth degree where they literally make the person feel horrible. And yeah, if and you want to lift somebody up, you're not, you know.
I was not trying to make you feel horrible or say it better than anybody else when I joked about moonshine and sleeping with sisters and things like that. And you actually, like, you know, have hung out with people that brew moonshine. So it's not like I'm just making an assumption here.
No, and there is precedence for what you said. They're trying to get away from the whole situation where cousins married cousins, but the truth of it is that years ago that was common practice, but it wasn't like these people were directly related. It was more like fourth or fifth generation cousin, because the mountain communities were so sequestered in their little valleys that they didn't see anybody else. They tried as hard as they could to avoid that, because there were a lot of cultural misconceptions that Appalachian people are just straight incestual. But there, it was more or less because, you know, that was what happened.
Well, you know, most of the world finds it somewhat acceptable to marry, you know, second or third or even first cousins. It's not that bizarre of a thing. And I'm not making a case for it. I guess I'm making a case of I think it should not be illegal. And marrying your sister and having kids will probably result in birth defects. But people marry even their first cousin doesn't usually. Sometimes it strengthens the gene pool and strengthens positive traits.
Yeah, and we see the negative ramifications as far as moral stories for, you know, marrying your sister on, you know, Game of Thrones, for lack of better words, which is the big one.
Well, I'm looking at the Wikipedia article, cousin marriage, and you keep talking, and I'm going to find a list of famous Americans, including some founding fathers, who married their cousins. Go on.
Well, basically, if you've been following that series online, the writer himself put into the script that incest was the detriment of a lot of these upper class or upper crust families. And
the British royal family are practically retarded, and so were a lot of the Russian royal families in the Tsarist days.
In Charles Darwin's family, they agreed with intermarriage amongst the families just to kind of keep it smart. And they ended up creating a lot of genetic problems and diseases for those family members that they couldn't get over.
Cousin marriage was legal in all states before the Civil War. See, them city folks from the north just came in and told you how to do your business.
Yeah. Well, you know that the Appalachians seceded from the South during the Civil War, correct?
Really? Tell me more.
Yeah. What happened was that we didn't agree necessarily with the slaver states. They were trying to, quote unquote, separate, and then they did have it written into the Articles of Confederacy to get rid of slavery 5 to 7 years later. But at the same time, we didn't agree with it because we saw it was like a rich white man's war against another rich white man's war.
Yeah.
And so we seceded and became the state of Franklin, which was the first time that the Appalachians had collectively seceded from the United States and the Confederacy at the same time.
Albert Einstein married his first cousin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Charles Darwin married his first cousin. Yeah, I mean, think about that. Like the father of you know, the theory of the survival of the fittest married his cousin.
Yep. And he had
Bach.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Albert Einstein. JFK. John F. Fitzgerald, the grandfather of John F. Kennedy. Wasn't he a bootlegger? He married
his second cousin.
Yeah. Yep. Rudy Giuliani married his second cousin once removed.
Wow.
Let's see. Saddam Hussein. Boy, they're in some great those Kennedys are in great company there. Jesse James. Thomas Jefferson married his third cousin.
Huh.
Yep. Jerry Lee Lewis, well known for marrying his really, really young cousin. You know, he was blackballed in America and couldn't play gigs after that without getting almost lynched. But they loved him in England. After that, they didn't care.
It's funny. Everybody loves Bob Dylan here, but in England, they don't like him. That's kind of the reverse. Well, it's because he showed up in England playing an electric guitar and they expected him to play on a folk guitar.
Yeah.
And he wasn't drunk at the time. So I think that's the other part they didn't like.
He wasn't drunk. We paid for drunk. Igor Stravinsky married his first cousin. H.G. Wells married his first cousin. I could go on. And then you get into royalty, and there's like a really long whole page here. So I'm not making a case for marrying cousins. I'm just saying, you know, what business is it of the government's? I mean, you can't marry your second cousin and not have kids. That's illegal. But, you know, you can marry a stranger and drink all day long and then educate them stupid while you're pregnant. So let's go back to the Bitcoin BS generator. It's so much fun. I want to share it with people. Engineer electronic cash confirmations, transition merged transactions, cold store global synergies, incentivized time-stamped blocks. You got some?
I do. Decentralized attacker-proof dark markets. That's a good one.
Transition yeah, it sounds like Silk Road. Transition encrypted ASICs.
Distribute instant confirmation multisigs.
Generate one CPU, one vote cryptocurrencies.
Innovate secure key blocks.
Leverage attacker-proof dark markets. That one makes sense.
Yeah. Transition decentralized protocols.
Yeah, I went to get some of the adjectives, nouns, and verbs for this, or actually it's verb, adjective, noun. I spent about 2 hours on that, just getting a list of like 100 words, because I wanted to get the right ones. And, you know, some of it was, you know, the first 10 were from memory. And then I went to found a few Bitcoin glossaries. And then for a lot of it, some of the really weird ones, I went back to Satoshi's white paper on Bitcoin that he released before he released Bitcoin. Mm. Syndicate vanity address exchanges.
Harness private blockchains.
Leverage P2P microtransactions.
Synergize hash rate dark markets again.
You're getting a lot of dark markets. Maybe it's kind of like the Swedish fish fortune telling thing.
That's right.
It reads your mind. So Bitcoin's at $665.
I noticed we were joking about that.
I wonder if it was a dollar more an hour ago and
it was.
People were freaking out. Catholic Online Magazine recently had an article saying that Bitcoin was the mark of the number of the beast.
Man, it's
they've been saying that about everything though. They've said that about rock and roll. I don't know about that publication in particular, but yeah. Do you remember that whole anti rock music devil scare? Protestants bought into it too, but it was
back in the 60s and whatnot. They would literally go out.
It was the 70s, my friend.
It was 70s. Yeah. And they would literally go out behind churches and burn it, and people would purport to see things burning in the fire. And I remember that was part of the whole thing.
Burning records?
Yeah, they would literally burn the records and tapes.
I knew about burning records, but I never knew about seeing the devil in the fire. Man, that is some big imagination there.
Yeah, they would do this, and I heard more than one story about that. And I wasn't a cognizantly aware back then, thankfully, but you know, I might have saved some Frank Zappa records if I could.
Those people need to iterate proof of stake transaction fees instead.
That's right.
Or Matrix altcoin DAX.
We'll be back. Need to sc-
Go ahead. What?
They need to scale off their Genesis blocks.
Yes.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we are talking about the Irish, the drunken Irish. Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Jack Johnson, the rabid raccoon. This is Michael Dean, the iron hamster. And I want to talk about the drunken Irish, those noble people who came to America and built and then filled our prisons. I'm Irish. Michael Dean was originally my family name was Adeen, which is an Irish variation on Odeen. So I can make Irish jokes. So you're going to talk about the drunken Irish who built and then filled our prisons. Go ahead.
I'm going to share two stories. Before
anybody, any newly minted libertarian writes me and says, you shouldn't say our prisons because, you know, one of these political correcting, no sense of humor, newly minted libertarians I'm dealing with all the time these days. Before you write me, you should know I don't really think there are prisons. And I'm quoting Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock. So have a sense of humor and have a sense of American pop culture of the world, because it is our pop culture. It's mine. It may not be the pop culture of newly minted political correct thick libertarians who want to criticize me for. I got criticized for the button that I made called "State Speech is Hate Speech" by some politically correct libertarian who said you shouldn't use the word hate speech. That's a government term and it's a false term. I'm like, duh. That's why we're making fun of it. Like, I'm far more tired of politically correct thick libertarians than that offends me way more than I'm not even really offended by like brutalist libertarians, people who are just rude and beyond, like who take macho libertarian flash, which I love, to like the nth degree to like really shock people. I don't read it. I don't think it's that funny, but it's like, not only will I fight for the right to do it, I'm like, that can't hurt anything. People say, oh, that gives liberty a bad name. No, man, it would have 10 years ago, but liberty's so big right now, you can't harm it by any one person. And that's a quality problem. It's not a leaky lifeboat where we need to all cling together. It's LibPair, man. It's a continent. It's a continent-sized worldwide movement. So go ahead. Go ahead with your Irish bashing, Jack O. Johnson. Are you part Irish?
Yes, I am. I'm Norwegian, Scotch, Irish, and Cherokee.
So. Man, that's a pretty drunk combination, but go on.
That's a pretty Appalachian combination. but the Jim Godin's book basically had covered
– in the Redneck Manifesto.
Redneck Manifesto.
I'll link it in the show notes. Great book.
So he had talked about the Irish in both in Antigua and here in Virginia and in lower parts of South Carolina. When they brought the Irish over – here's the thing that people don't understand about American history – it wasn't African slaves that were brought over first. It was actually the Irish that were brought over. And the Irish were put to work as indentured servants. They were treated like rental cars. And that's Jim Goad's basic analogy.
And not to say that slavery is good, but right. Indentured servitude was worse because, you know, slaves were treated like property. Sometimes they were whipped and abused, but a lot of times – and they were forced to work, and it's a horrible thing. But a lot of times they were treated like, you know, a car you own that you don't want to mess up. Whereas indentured servants were treated the way you treat a rental car. Now, think about how you treat a rental car versus a car you own and love and maintain yourself. And the other thing is, a lot of times owners or renters, leasers of indentured servants would not honor the out on the contract. Like, you know, they'd be like, you're supposed to, you get passage to America and a little acre of land to come here for work for 7 years or something for somebody. When they get to the end of that 7 years, they'd make up some infraction and say, oh, we're adding another 5 years because you ate a piece of corn that I didn't say you could eat or something like that.
That's right. And I didn't realize how horrible this had been until I was in Jamaica. And I was in Negril, Jamaica, and I was with a Rastafarian, and he and I were just cruising through the mountains. And I saw a street called Caledonia. We'll talk about it when we get back. Tell you a little bit about it.
And Obama is not the descendant of slaves. Obama is the descendant of Africans who sold other Africans into slavery.
That is correct.
He's not like most of the black people in America who are descendants of slaves. He is the descendant of the peoples who sold their own peoples into slavery to the Dutch to bring to America and the Americas and Antigua. We'll be back with in hour two of the Freedom Fiends with Jack Johnson, the rabid raccoon, and Michael Dean, the iron hamster, after this trip to the market. Worms! We'll be right back.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for some summer fun in Wyoming? A camping weekend with liberty-minded folks for a barbecue, tubing on a river, a live band, and some quality trigger time? Then join us in Guernsey from May 29th to June 1st for the 2014 Free State Wyoming Jamboree. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, Free State Wyoming encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the Cowboy State. Bring your family to the Free State Wyoming Jamboree. For more details, visit freestatewyoming.org.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. This is hour two of Freedom Fiends on Sunday. And I'm talking to Jack Johnson over there in Appalachia. And
howdy.
You know, this the Bitcoin BS generator that I made, which you can look at by going to freedomfiends.com/BS. Freedomfiends.com/BS. B as in Bravo, S as in Sierra. It's gotten so many hits since I put it up last night that it's it's got like 9,000 something hits. I checked it. It was threatening to take me offline about a half hour ago because I guess Jeffrey Tucker retweeted it, and then a bunch of people retweeted his retweet of it. So go look at it. I could take it. I can take your traffic because I build better roads than the government, cyber roads that is. So you want to talk more about Jim Goad and the book The Redneck Manifesto, which is kind of a more correct alternate history of the United States.
Right. And just for clarification, we are not denigrating anybody's family history that was involved with slavery.
No. And I guess this is the place where you have to give the disclaimer and say you're not racist but people will say you are anyway. But
right. Yeah.
Have friends of all stripes and colors. I have a black friend. I used to do this show with a Middle Eastern fella with Nima Vadadi, who's a Persian who pretty much looks like, I don't even want to say it. I was going to say he looks like everybody that was on that plane that took down the Twin Towers, but he kind of does. He's a, 20-something, late 20-something Middle Eastern guy. He's said that himself, so I can quote him on that. Although they were mostly Saudi Arabian, Arab, and he is Persian, which is not Arab. A lot of people don't.
Right.
A lot of people have kind of unintentional racism where they just assume things and don't know things. Like, you hear these stories about Sikhs being dragged out of convenience stores and beaten by people yelling anti-Muslim stuff because they have this pro-America, us versus them, collective thought. Think about that. Like people who hate socialism and then go beat up some race. Because it's collectivism. It's collectivized. It's socialist violence. Socialized violence. But they don't even know that these people aren't Muslim because they're wearing something on their head.
What looks to be a turban, but it's not, right?
Yeah, which isn't even turban isn't even what most Arabs wear or Muslims wear. They wear other things on their head, which are smaller and lower in profile. And I don't mean they're hiding. I mean, like, they don't stick up as far as a turban. Turban is largely Indian, India, Pakistan. And there are Muslims in those countries. There are Zoroastrians in India. I don't know if you know much about Zoroastrians. And the long history of humanity is very interesting and wide and varied, and basically comes down, a lot of it comes down to a lot of people murdering a lot of other people based on how they look or how they pray or just things that are superficial in the grand scheme of whether or not someone deserves, everyone deserves freedom and peace, but whether or not someone deserves ridicule or whatever. I think loving the state is the thing that makes people the most worthy of ridicule of anything anything. I'm racist against people whose race is the state and the government and loving it.
And they make government their god, and that's the way we yeah, that's the way we put it here, and to us that's a pretty bad thing.
Well, do you know the term statheist?
No, I hadn't heard. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's an atheist who loves the state, which is a lot of liberals and a lot of California West Coast liberals, not to collectivize the collectivists. But it's such a disconnect and a contradiction, because a lot of atheists, most atheists, are adamantly sure they're smarter than people who believe in God, because they know there's no God and they're sure of it. Whereas agnostics are just kind of like, yeah, they don't think about it. Doesn't enter into their equation much. But most atheists are absolutely sure there's no God, to the point where they think they're better than religious people. And a lot of them spend a lot of their time denigrating religious people for it. But the irony is, a lot, you know, if you love the state, you have a God. You have made a God of the collective nature of the state's violence, telling people what to do. You know, basically, most atheists think people are too stupid to rule themselves, so the people need to get together and vote in people who are smart enough to rule the stupid people.
Yeah, they're that synarchic or technocratic point of view, where they have to have this elite group that knows how to run things for them.
Yeah.
What we were talking about earlier was the victim narrative that's in this country couldn't be further from what actually happened in history, and that's what we were discussing with Jim Goad. Jim Goad, when he put out the book Redneck Manifesto, said something that almost seemed like a racist book, but his historical research was pretty valid. It wasn't totally correct. He didn't have a lot of the sources that you'd have nowadays. But
it was pre-internet.
Yeah, it was pre-internet, which was amazing. Yeah. It was an amazing book for pre-internet. And I was in Jamaica in 2006, and what had happened was Jim Goad had said that the Irish had been brought to the country as indentured servants and had been just killed off, run through, lied to, cheated, everything that you could possibly imagine.
No wonder they drank.
Right. And at first I heard this and I was like, yeah, but where's the evidence of it? Well, I was in Jamaica and I remember what he said about they imported the Irish to the West Indies and Antigua. And when I was in Jamaica, I was with Rastafarian.
Now, as a way station or as a final destination?
Yeah, as a final destination.
Yeah, because I've noticed there's a lot of similarities between a Rasta accent or a Jamaican accent or an Islander accent and an Irish accent. I mean, they both say ting instead of a thing. And there's a reason. A lot of the cadence is similar. What is the reason?
The reason is that the British had basically gone into Ireland and taken a lot of the Irish people from there down to the West Indies and dumped them off on the islands to work. And what ended up happening was that most of the Irish, they weren't acclimatized to the environment, and many of them died. And how I figured this out, we were going through the Blue Mountains of Jamaica with a Rastafarian, and we would go by these roads, and they say like Caledonia O'Neill. And I asked him, I said, "We're in Jamaica. Why are there Irish names on all these roads?" And he said to me, he said they used to live here. And I said, "Well, what happened to the Irish?" He said, "They all dead, man." And it reminded me of that Jim Goad passage where he talked about the Irish in the West Indies as a predecessor or a precursor to them being in the Americas, and how much adversity they'd face as indentured servants. And literally they all died, you know. And
so the Irish accent influenced the Jamaican accent, not the other way around.
That's what I've been led to understand.
Yeah.
You were right.
Yep. Yeah. They say things about people from primitive areas, and I would say that Jamaica was a primitive area at one point, mm-hmm. and you know, before it was made to be a British colony. There's a lot of Jamaican people in Britain. I remember being on a bus in Jamaica and a Rasta dude started screaming at me because I was taking pictures on the bus. And
right.
it was almost a "you're stealing my soul" kind of vibe, but the guy was – he was drunk at like 9 in the morning, which is – a lot of them generally smoke a lot of pot and don't drink a lot. But this was a drunk Rasta on a double-decker bus in London. And he was drinking and he finished his – what's that Irish beer, the really good one?
Oh,
Guinness.
Man.
He finished Guinness, his bottle yeah. of Guinness, his big bottle of Guinness, and then like set it down without anyone seeing, set the empty down on the bus a floor, and then it started like upright, but then it tipped over and started rolling around, and it rolled back to where I was. And I was a tourist, and I took out my camera and took a picture of it on the bus floor with the label up with a drop of the last drop of it like spilling out of it. And this Rasta guy started screaming at me and saying that I was, you know, he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "America." And he said, then he really started screaming at me. This is in 2004. There was a big anti-American sentiment in Europe to the point where a lot of people traveling would say they were from Canada because, right. You know, people wanted to murder you for being from America. As if me, the guy traveling, you know, the trains from a backpack is the guy launching the missiles in the Middle East. And as if, you know, Britain didn't have blood on their hands collectively as a collectivist nation. They were over there too. But yeah, man, there was a big anti-American push, which is pretty bizarre to me to victimize someone by accident of birth for what their so-called leaders are doing. I have no control over what George Bush or Barack Obama did. Zero. Less than zero control over it.
Yeah, that was the big issue with traveling back then. I remember you talking about that many, many episodes ago about when you backpacked across Europe and the anti-American sentiment that you ran into and how you had to re-educate people.
Yeah.
That you weren't that guy.
Yeah, but he said – he was screaming at me, and I'm not going to try to do his accent. It'd be insulting and wrong to, you know, I wouldn't get it right. I mean, not that it's wrong morally or anything, but just I can't do his accent. But he was saying, he's screaming, you take this picture, man, and you go put it in a magazine in America and make fun of England. And I'm like, I'm not the one drinking on a public bus at 9 a.m, brother.
So he didn't have like some type of Carlos Castaneda reason for it. He was worried about his, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't his soul. It was more like, you know, he thought, and I did not take a picture of him, but he got up in my grill, like up in my face, inches away to where I thought he was going to hit me. And I just got off the bus like way before I was my destination and got on another bus. I got screamed at a few times for being American over in Europe about that time.
Yeah, the only time that we ever had that happen was we were in a port of call, and we ran out of money literally between wire transfers. And when everybody realized we didn't have money, then they started to talk down to us.
Ah.
And I was amazed at that. And because these are people that we had previously helped out with some things and whatnot. But as soon as they couldn't get anything from us, their attitude towards us totally changed.
Where was this? When?
That was out of Montego Bay. Coming out from that area, we were thinking about heading out to some other islands, but we ended up having, we were going to take a flight out of Montego Bay to somewhere else, and we ended up not having to pay for the flight, or we had to pay for the flight, and we had to wait for some extra money to come to what they call Scotiabank, is how they do a lot of stuff in the Caribbeans and the West Indies. And
what's that?
Scotiabank is just a bank out of Nova Scotia. So that's and they literally made fun of us for not having money. I thought that was kind of odd, you know.
Yeah, we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends trip around the world with Jack Johnson and Michael Dean after we go sell you some things to get some money so you can't make fun of us.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, we're back. I miscalculated that one. Freedom Fiends! Yeah. So I was in this bar in Ireland. I have two Irish stories. One is I was showing my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist at this really cool, hip bar in London called the Horse Hospital, which actually used to be a horse hospital. Still has stalls, still has the ramp with the little cement strips in it so the horses could walk up to it. And It's not something you need in central London so much anymore, is a horse hospital. So now they have a nightclub there, and I was showing my movie there, and I had some books, some of my books, $30 Film School, shipped from my publisher in America to that destination. So I'd have them, you know, I didn't want to carry like 100 books with me to sell over there. So I'd have like 20 shipped at a time. And this box from my publisher in Boston, Massachusetts, came to this place in London. And the guy opened it up and thought it was a bomb because it had this like spray. They use this kind of like spray packing that it's a foam that hardens and fills the container. And it's kind of dark, kind of metallic colored. And he thought it was plastic because wow. They had just had an anti-IRA art exhibit, but it was critical of the IRA art exhibit that week before. And there is a Boston in Northern Ireland. And he thought it was originally, he looked at it, he thought it was from Northern Ireland, from Boston, and, you know, was a response. But it wasn't. And had a great showing there. And if anyone's listening from the horse hospital, I want to thank you. That was a great show back in 2004. I'd love to come back sometime. And my other, I was going to tell the story about, there's a bar in Ireland called Bukowski's. Yes, named after the American author. They celebrate, you know, a lot of Americans celebrate the Irish poets, or as they call them on the Springfield, there's a float in the parade, in the St. Patrick's Day parade, celebrating the drunken Irish poets of Springfield. And it's a float that just has a bunch of guys, middle-aged guys in business, in suits with leather arm patches, just punching each other on this float. But I guess Irish... some of the Irish adopted Bukowski, the drunken American poet, as someone to name a bar after. And I was showing my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, which I will be showing at Porkfest and giving a talk afterwards, along with, that's Tuesday night. Thursday night, I'm showing the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and giving a talk afterwards, Q&A, on low budget, no budget filmmaking and audio, both nights. And it was a really good showing in this little country pub called Bukowski's, packed room. I mean, it was like, there were like 180 people in a place that probably comfortably could have held, you know, 100. And they loved the movie, and they were doing the Q&A afterwards. And this guy kept getting up and screaming drunkenly at me for being American, like wow. Just mumbling about it. And I was like, what's going to happen? This guy's going to kill me. What's going on? He sounds like he's going to kill me. And all of a sudden, everyone in the audience was like, Barry, sit down, Barry, leave him alone, Barry. Like he was the town drunk in a bar called Bukowski's in Ireland, and they all knew him by name, and they all told him to shut up.
How hard you have to work to be the town drunk in Ireland?
In a bar called Bukowski's.
Bukowski's, yeah. Exactly.
That's a lot to live up to, man. Guy's probably dead in a puddle of his own vomit by now.
Oh my gosh.
So you want to talk about chromed robot turds? No, you want to talk about Legos?
Well, you mentioned you talked about the parade with the drunk Irish poets, and I think that The Simpsons is about ready to come out with some type of Lego episode. But part of that yeah, I know, right? Part of the
are Legos kind of hip? Did I miss a message? A memo?
No, I guess they're back in style. I don't know. It's just suddenly popped onto the internet as being the thing. But what amazed me was how in our strange vanity as human beings that there is a secret underground vault that, now I remember they found like E.T. just recently out in the desert for Atari, but there's a secret underground vault containing all Lego sets ever been made in history.
Is it in the basement of the Vatican?
I'm trying to check out and see. It's in Belund, and I think they're made in Switzerland, or as it was, Denmark.
Well, there's something that's like Legos. They're not blockos. What are they called? They're not licensed. They can't use the word Legos, but they're similar and they're cheaper and they're popular. Is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about actual Legos?
Actual Legos, everyone that's ever been made.
So this article is on Gizmodo, which is the site where somebody coined the term chromed robot turd for computer cell phones, which we've used that term a lot. And the guy got fired for it because he was making fun of the god of that website of technology that fits in your pocket.
You're listening
to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. All you subversive, bearded anarchists out there in the hill country. You got a beard story here, don't you, Jack Johnson?
Yeah, since we love beards so much around these parts. But this one comes from Charleston. You can find it at the Post and Courier and postandcourier.com. But there's a professor by
the
name of Paul.
Just search the term. If you want to see the picture we're going to talk about, Google the term Holy City Brewing. Holy City Brewing.
And you can find him.
Yep.
And he's one of those guys that does beard shows, and he's got this really awesome, like, ridiculous handlebar beard with a flange beard underneath. And Paul Roof's a professor at Charleston.
You know the terms.
Right.
Flange beard. This guy looks like a like ZZ Top crossed with an alien starfish. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what happened was the professor, unbeknownst to him, he works at Charleston Southern University, which is a Southern Baptist college in Charleston. And he basically – they had taken the image of his beard because he's the head of the Charleston Beard Society. And they took his image and they used it on Chucktown Follicle Brown. Which
did they
is
have
from,
his permission?
I don't think they did. And Holy City Brewing actually used his picture on their beer, and that got him fired from the college.
Well, if they didn't have his permission – I can't see why they could legally fire him. I mean, it's somebody did something to him if he didn't give him permission.
Right. Yeah, they wanted to get rid of somebody at that point. But I found it really odd that you could get fired for your follicle showing up on the follicle of Chucktown Brown.
Now, is this because the Baptist college thought that alcohol is unchristian or something?
That's correct. I'm most likely they wanted to disassociate themselves with this brew because this is going to be all around Charleston. So they're not going to get away that this Professor Roof is on every can.
All the bearded hipsters are going to be just buying it all up.
Oh, my God. I got to import some to Asheville. That's for sure.
Yeah. Crossing county lines like your ancestors did in the dark of night with a truck full of alcohol.
Yeah, well, I don't think we've managed an engine yet that can run off beer, but that would be kind of amazing.
Why? Because it's so heavy?
Oh, well, beer having such a low alcohol content, it wouldn't run like Sean, that's for sure.
Yeah, oh, run, you mean, I thought you meant carry, you mean burn.
Burn, right.
Are there cars that they run on moonshine there?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they still do that. That's part of the whole test to see if the car is actually set up right. They have to make sure that there are no rubber, a lot of rubber lines that are on the carburetors and other types of intake to make sure that the gas line itself or the fuel line, I should say, if it did have any rubber involved, any gaskets that were rubber, that moonshine would just eat that up. You know, and they found that out the hard way then when they originally started powering cars with shine. So the cars have to be rebuilt with either rubber that it has to be done with metal piping or rubber that is not affected by alcohol. So
the hill folk were going green 100 years before the government.
That's right.
The government was subsidizing It was subsidizing people to grow corn over and over and deplete the land in the middle of America.
Yeah, once again, a fine Appalachian idea like organic food taken and subverted.
Ruined. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's amazing to me that the getting back to this Holy City Brewing, that a college would – the guy literally did not say, you know, I sign off on this. He might have known and kind of gave a wink and nod to it after the fact. But the fact that the guy – from what I understand from this article, he really didn't know that he was his image was going to be used on a beer can. And the fact that the Christian college kicked him out, you know, when he could have easily – they could have easily said, yeah, you didn't know. We don't like it, but whatever. It's not – it's really not that big of a deal. But yeah. I think because the guy is such an icon in the beard world that they wanted to disconnect themselves from him publicly. And he was a love professor there, apparently.
Well, he needs to transition hard fork escrows or iterate secure miners or open source merchant exchanges or exploit cryptographic cryptocurrencies and then scale encrypted metacoins. So another little issue with someone's usage of their image. You were talking about one of these ladies that takes her clothes off for money. No, right. No. One of these ladies that's photographed with her with other clothes on for money, right? A model?
That's correct. The there's a lady down in Brazil just recently, or as it was, she's an Argentinian model. And this has been a big issue with Google. It's been a lot in the news, and this was on CNN. Basically, all that happened was that she – okay, you know how they would cut people's heads off and put them on naked bodies and put it on porn sites?
You're not talking about actually cutting people's heads off. You're talking about, you know, cutting and pasting a picture.
Yeah.
What's commonly called photoshopping. Now, here's a little interesting aside. I have a friend who can't be named because he has a non-disclosure agreement with Adobe going back many years, who worked there around the year 1998, 1999 as a consultant. And they were wondering what to do about people pirating Adobe Photoshop. And he said, let them. If you let them, the term Photoshop will turn into a verb. And they were like, verb? Photoshopping right. things? And he's like, yes. And they did for a while. They now crack down on piracy, but for about 5 years there, they didn't, because my friend told them not to. My friend Joseph, JM, let's just call him JM, told them not to, and said he came up with this concept of Photoshopping will become a verb. And it did. Because they didn't crack down on piracy for a while, because that spread Photoshop to everybody.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, Google is also a verb. I guess if you make it as an internet company or as a technology product, to become a verb is a pretty powerful thing.
Well, I did that with Satoshi in my Bitcoin BS generator. I've never heard the word Satoshi, you know, the guy, the mysterious person or person, Satoshi Nakamoto, who invented Bitcoin. Now it is used as a plural noun. Satoshis are the smallest divisible unit of a Bitcoin. It's like what, a trillionth or something?
Yes, very small.
Yeah. And you know, at some point that may be enough to buy lunch, because there's a finite amount of Bitcoin and it's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger than ever and more mainstream. Dish Network is now taking Bitcoin. They're the biggest company to take it for payment so far. And that's big news, and people keep sending me that, and, you know, Free Talk Live covered it a few days ago. But it's not nearly as big of a deal as the fact that the Federal Reserve at federalreserve.gov, I think it is, just released a white paper on how to better centrally plan the economy, the false economy they create and run the world with.
Wow.
And there's a section on Bitcoin in it. Basically, they think they can put the cow back in the barn and tax it. They're nuts. They can't tax all of it. So getting back to Google as a verb, this lady, somebody took this model who's not a nude model. She's a model,
right,
model,
right.
Regular model, and put her head on naked bodies. And when you search her name, it's one of the main things that comes up.
Right.
And she's
with the word sex and pornography next to her name.
Yeah. And yeah. She's trying to get Google to make this stop happening.
Right.
That's ridiculous. It's not nice that people are doing this to her. And even if you think it should be illegal, which I don't, it's ridiculous to do this to try to get, like, Google's basically, to me, Google should be, in an ideal world where they weren't making robots for the military, Google and all search engines should be agnostic as to what they return in a search. They should return, the thing that most fits the term you're searching. And if that happens to be, you know, fake naked pictures, that should be it. I mean, basically, Google is, or should be, in an ideal world without government forces trying to force it to do things, it should be like an index. It should literally be just a list of what's on the internet. And when you get around to trying to, like, centrally plan what comes up on a list of things that are on the internet, you're no longer showing what's on the internet.
Well, here's what's really odd. The lady's name is Maria Belin Rodriguez.
Thousands of people listening to The Fiends are searching that now. Say it again.
Maria Belin Rodriguez. And what's really odd is that if you go into Google Images, man, some of the photos she took as a model are about close to porn. So this is really, you know, this is a tough call. I think this is the nose under the camel's tent.
She wants her authorized almost porn pictures rather than the unauthorized porn pictures. Yeah,
right. and it would be the nose under the camel's tent, because I heard another story in between the break about that happening, where people were starting to sue Google for this very particular issue.
It's ridiculous, and it's not new. It's been happening since about 6 months after Google started. You know, we talked yesterday. We had a man on the scene interview with a guy who was at the anti swearing event in Michigan. Where we talked to the guy yesterday. He's a Libertarian Party running for Congress for Michigan under the Libertarian Party, and he was speaking at this event. Basically, there was a 17-year-old kid that was skateboarding in an area that's literally not owned. It's not public property. It's not private property. And it's like, you know, private property that no one remembers who owns it, and now the city has said they own it. And there was a kid skateboarding on it, like away from people, not bothering anybody, not destroying any property, not even making noise where people can hear it. And a cop came up to him and said, you know, move along. Get out of here. Can't skateboard here. And under his breath, and I'll make this radio friendly, the kid said, this is Feinsteining Bullshumer or something like that. And the cop wrote him a $200 ticket for, like, disturbing the peace or something. When there's nobody around except him and his buddies and the cops. And it basically is a free speech issue. It's a First Amendment issue that, you know, it is Feinsteining Bullshumer, and the kid should be able to say that. And they had a rally. It was not a pro-swearing rally, which is kind of funny because the local news came, and I'm sure they painted it like, Libertarian candidate holds pro-swearing rally on public property. but they had this rally. The kid spoke. The kid got arrested spoke. The Libertarian Party guy spoke. A bunch of other people spoke. It was kind of a party atmosphere. And there were people – they had signs, you know, saying about their right to free speech. And there were people driving by yelling at them and throwing things at them. And swearing at them, like,
wow,
swearing at them for protesting their right to swear. When oppressed in a small way by a highwayman who's robbing you. And the thing is, if you believe in freedom for anything, you have to believe in freedom for everything, especially anything that doesn't, you know, there's no victim. There's no victim in what he did. So it shouldn't be a crime. And you could say, you know, if you're a proper person who doesn't cuss, you know, you should say, well, these youngsters should learn not to cuss, and he should just get a job and pay his fine. And a lot of the comments on the web postings about this said that. That's ridiculous, and you're not a freedom fighter if you say things like that, because you have to fight for the people you don't like and the things you don't like, or people will take the things you like. You can't just fight for your rights.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and it's time for the redemption in the third act. The denouement. And we're speaking some French here. Are there French people where you live?
Yes, there are. People moved up from New Orleans after Katrina.
That's what I thought. So, you got one little final, I don't know if it's redemption in the third act. We're just going to laugh at the stupidity of the state, but go ahead.
Well, basically, Truth About Guns has something every day called Irresponsible Gun Owners of the Day. And this actually was a police officer. And it just goes to remind you that people that say that only police officers should have guns are also being idiotic. And the guy's name is Officer Timothy Huggins. So apparently this is Edgewater, Florida. And Huggins and another officer responded to a 1924 doesn't matter what the drive is, but they came out to a guy's house, and it was a hoax hostage call. And so they don't just come in with guns drawn. They come in with AR-15s. And what happened was
when they were – trigger fingers.
That's right. And so the officer in question had taken his safety off his AR. And so when they were coming up to the house, they go in. They get the guy that's in question. His name is Daniel Meese. He's a 25-year-old Marine veteran. And they take him out to his car to get some identification. And apparently they've got the AR slung low. And the officer runs his keys up against his trigger, and he squeezes off this AR-15 in this neighborhood. Ugh. And, of course, you know, there's no telling if this guy, Meese, had, as a Marine veteran, had PTSD. But amazing
is – an AR-15, a 223 can go, you know, it could go a mile and then go through someone's oak front door and go through a wall and then kill them in their back bedroom.
Yeah, depending on the make of the bullet, for sure. And you know what's interesting is Edgewater, Florida's response was that, okay, well, now we're going to change the way that they handle their keys. And
you keep your finger off the trigger, man. You know, in my movie Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, there's an interviewee, my buddy Lou, who is, I guess the easiest way to describe him is he's the black guy in the movie. He's interviewed out at the shooting range, out on state land in Wyoming, with his AR-15 on. And interestingly, he's wearing body armor under his t-shirt, and he's really skinny and kind of muscular, and he's wearing like really light fabric kind of body armor. So he kind of looks bulked up. He kind of looks like RoboCop, or, you know, like some kind of like genetically engineered soldier or something. And he's really calm and confident, but not cocky. And it's a great interview. And he's throughout the movie, he's pasted in saying a lot of stuff. And the whole time, I mean, it's like a 40-minute interview uncut just with him. You know, I used about probably 8 minutes of it in the movie in about 10 different clips. But he has his AR-15, and he has his finger along the side of it above the trigger, mm-hmm. like you should when you're holding it and not firing it, or when you're walking with it or running into a hostage situation. And it looks so cool to me because he doesn't move it at all. You know, I mean, one time, like, a bug landed on his finger, and he like flicked it off and then put it right back down there. And it's just, that's how you hold an AR-15, man.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to me that this is a rookie mistake. I was in the infantry. We had to tape up everything on our uniform to make sure we didn't make this one mistake, which was basically allowing something to enter the trigger well to actually press on the trigger. And it's, you know, it's kind of odd. You know, this guy's got, I'm going to get out and get this guy. And he's got his keys hanging on his uniform, and it literally slides down in there as he's holding it at the ready. And it's and what's ironic is, like I said, the police department's response was, officers are no longer permitted to wear key rings on the exterior of their uniforms. Their fix.
If a citizen did that, he'd probably be arrested, and he would probably have his rights to have guns taken away.
Yes, they would have.
Yeah.
This guy probably, they didn't do anything other than laugh at him at the end of work.
You've seen that video, I'm sure, on YouTube that's got about a million hits. We use some of this in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, too, of the DEA guy in the schoolroom saying, I'm the only one in this room qualified to hold this Glock 40. And then he literally shoots himself in the foot, and he doesn't leave to go to the hospital. He keeps trying to give his anti-drug presentation. And then he picks up a rifle, and the kids all like duck. And the teacher says, oh, I don't think you should do that now.
And well, maybe limping. The state shouldn't have guns.
Yeah, guns for everyone except the government. Search that video on YouTube. Nima Vadati and I made it. It's good music. We'll be back with more tonight, 12 hours, 10 hours from now. This is the two show a week one of the Freedom Fiends. I'll have Randy England on, former prosecutor, current attorney. If you have attorney questions, you can Skype them in, and he might answer them. It's been a good show, Jack. Thank you.
Good talking to you, Michael. Take care. Have a great day.
Worms.
Worms.